reading this morning is from 1 John 3, verses 1 through 7. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous.
Thank you, Donna. Anybody want to ask which unhappy camper that is? Oh, it's your home? No. Oh, dear. Well, first of all, I need to apologize to everyone. I told you I'm not a minister and I screwed up. This Acts reading is next week's. So in case you wonder why this reading didn't go with the reflection, that's why. But anyway, we're close. Today's reading actually comes from Acts 3, but it's verses 1 through 10. Sorry, Heidi, I screwed up, not you. My fault. Looked at that this morning and go, that doesn't say what I thought it was supposed to say. So anyway, this morning's reading from Acts. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, the person who was lame asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us!" And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." And Peter took him by the hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Excuse me just a moment. I have to be, you've become the lame man. Not too hard to do. I originally thought I would sit on the step and do this story about the lame man, but I realized I'd never get back up. So, I don't want to have to spend all my time here. So we're going to just pretend this is the temple for right now. And I thought it was a very appropriate story for me. Like to be lame? No, I don't mean when your jokes fall flat from time to time. Right now you plan something and it doesn't work out. What I mean is, you know what it's like to have feet and legs that don't work? I do. I was born that way. I'm the guy you just heard about in the scripture lesson this morning. The beggar that the Apostle Peter healed at the temple gate. So listen to my experience and learn some important lessons from a lame man. It's not fun being unable to walk. I see that, at least nowadays, the lame have chairs or wheels and they can help them get around. In my day, however, the lame had to be carried everywhere. If I wanted to go outside for a breath of fresh air, someone had to carry me. When I wanted to come inside and eat, someone had to carry me.
When I needed to use the washroom, someone had to carry me. Wasn't so bad when I was a little kid. But when I became a teenager, when I was heavier and harder to carry around, I felt so embarrassed to be dependent on others. But because of my inability to walk, I couldn't work, so I begged for a living. Thankfully, I lived in Jerusalem, where there were a lot of people willing to throw a few coins my way, especially when I sat outside the temple gates. Well, it was there that my life changed one afternoon. Two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, were entering the temple to worship. As always, I bowed my head and held out my hand, hoping for spare change as they walked by. But Peter said in a strong voice, but cut to the afternoon noise, "Look at me!" I did look at him, thinking, oh, maybe he had a whole handful of change for me. But Peter wasn't even holding out his hand. Did he not have any money? I thought. Gosh, maybe he wanted to give me food instead that was still in his pocket. Oh, I didn't have to wait long to find out. Peter went on to say with a twinkle in his eye, "I don't have a nickel for my name. But what I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus, I say to you, get up and walk." I couldn't explain how at the time, but I believed that Peter was telling me the truth. And that wasn't some lame joke. I believed that when I tried, I would be able to stand on my feet. Although, I had never done that before, and I was about 40 years old. So with my arms, I pushed myself to my knees, and then I put one foot forward, and I stood up. It was that easy, as if I had been doing that my whole life. Not only was I able to stand, I could walk. I could even jump. Before I knew it, I was running around and jumping and laughing and praising God for what He had done for me. Can you picture it? A grown man galloping around the public square? When was the last time you've seen an adult jumping and running around? Somebody probably would call somebody to have them locked up. So, my first lesson as a lame man. God loves to give us more than we ask for. I had asked for a few coins from Peter and John. That's all I thought I'd get out of them. But through those men, God gave me something much better. He gave me the ability to walk. But that's not all. Peter made clear when he spoke to the crowd that gathered that God also had given me the faith to believe Peter's words, that when I got up, I would be able to walk. All of us have aches and pains. But have you ever asked God for healing? Has He said yes to that prayer? Maybe not. Maybe your migraines keep coming back. Maybe your back is always sore, or your arm doesn't work like it's supposed to. But did you know that God has already given you something so much better than physical healing? He's given you spiritual healing. I'll explain better in just a minute. With all my jumping around and hollering, people came running from all corners of the temple to see what was going on. And of course, it was the busiest time of day there. Just at the time of the afternoon sacrifice, people stared and wondered, trying to figure out how Peter had been able to heal me. But Peter set them straight, and he told them clearly that the healing power had come from Jesus. The same Jesus, Peter added, that they, the people gathered there that day, and the rest of Jerusalem, had disowned before Pilate. The same Jesus they had rejected in favor of Barabbas, a convicted murderer. The same Jesus whom God had sent as the promised Messiah. Oh, I thought for sure that Peter was going to cause a riot. Especially when he started walking around the crowd saying that. "You killed the author of life!" And those words stunned that crowd. They stood there without moving, as if they had suddenly become lame. So here's the second thing I learned that day. I learned that all those respectable-looking temple goers were not as righteous as they thought they were. Oh, sure, they'd taken the time out of their day in the middle of the week at that to come to the temple to worship. But all was not well between God and them. As I stand in your worship space. I have to stand. I thought I stood in your worship space, sorry. I have to ask the question, what is your relationship with Jesus? Just because you're here in this church? Does it mean all is well with you and God? I know personally, it's not always that way. So, sometimes we do lie to ourselves and to others about how faithful we are with our time and our talents. But God knows. If you've decided there are some people who are not very likely, excuse me, I got so excited I lost my place. If you've decided that there are some people who are not just very likable, and therefore you stop even trying to be loving towards them, if you make excuses for those or any other sin, maybe you're not as close to Jesus as you think you are. Are you offended by what I said? I hope not. I know the feeling. It was hard to hear Peter accuse us of killing Jesus, but he was right. And that's when I learned yet another lesson that day. I learned that God speaks to us sinners, just fellow sinners. Peter wasn't perfect. We know what he did. Far from it. He later admitted that he himself had disowned Jesus, even though he had sworn he would never do that. But Peter had repented of his sin, and he was now God's voice. When a fellow sinner approaches you about your sin, don't push him away. Listen. They too are God's voice, calling to you to repent. That is, God wants you to turn away from sin the way you would turn away from a rattlesnake slithering in the way. But Peter's purpose that afternoon wasn't just to make us feel bad for having disowned Jesus. But he continued in a gentler voice and said, you acted in ignorance when you killed Jesus, but God acted with full intelligence when he allowed it to happen to accomplish his purpose. The payment of your sins through Jesus' death, I'll never forget what Peter said next. Repent and turn to God so your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The Lord will take care of you. So Jesus God has wiped away our sins the way you wipe a dish with a dish rag so it'll be clean again. Through his forgiveness comes times of refreshing. Peter used a medical term which means cool for the breath, dry out. So what's the best way to treat a wound? You let fresh air get through it after you've cleaned it. Likewise, God wants you to stop hiding your sins and covering them up with lame excuses, which are like dirty bandages. Instead, confess your sins to him and to one another. Expose your ugly wounds in this way, so that the fresh air of God's forgiveness can do its healing work. Peter assured us that everything he said was true. He was certain of this because the Jesus who died was also the Jesus who came back to life again. He's fine, don't worry about it. Peter saw the resurrected Jesus many times before the Lord ascended into heaven. The same Jesus whom we had crucified had forgiven us and was and is reigning as our God and Lord. And someday we will all get to see him. But until then, your life might not be easy. For 40 years, my life was very difficult because I was unable to walk. But this didn't mean that God didn't love me, or that he had forgotten about me. Yeah. Actually, my handicap turned out to be a blessing. Because of it, I got to experience firsthand God's power, and Peter healed me. So now, your life might not be easy. People might say that you're lame for believing in Jesus, but you're not. We are on our way to heaven, so we have reason to jump for joy every time.